This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Welcome into The Jump Around 3.0. I am Jim Rutledge. I'm in the Everlight Solar Studio. In classic, I guess, me fashion, Prime, I get a co-host and they're out. Pablo Iglesias, he is on vacation today, so he will not be joining the show with Gabe Neitzel. We'll talk a little bit of Marquette basketball. Gabe, obviously, and Gabe and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee. Gabe Neitzel, my first co-host with Good Karma Brands and on ESPN. Madison, at that point, it was Madison Sports Radio Prime. And Gabe obviously does a lot around Marquette, and he does Bucks play-by-play as well, and follows Badger football, too. So we're excited to have him on. And
Is this his first appearance on The Jump Around, though?
I think so.
Really? Okay, so what's a bigger deal for Gabe Neitzel? The fact that this is going to be his first appearance on The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge, or that it's his birthday? Because it is his birthday, by the way.
His birthday, too. Wow, all righty.
You didn't know that?
This is what happens when I delete Facebook off my phone. Literally, that's all I used it for a long time.
Well, like, taking the fans behind the curtain, that's why we're no longer streaming on Facebook, by the way, is because Jim Rutledge deleted it, and therefore we don't need to know anyone's birthday anymore. But that's hilarious to me. I thought you've known Gabe for 15, 20 years?
I know like four birthdays. I don't know my mom's birthday, Ryan. I don't know my dad's. My wife has to tell me. I know my mom's birthday is in January, and my dad's birthday is near Father's Day. I know my brother's, my wife's, and my kids.
Okay, those are the most important ones.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
So no offense to anyone. I feel like Matt's is in February. Matt Hamilton makes a big deal about it. Matt Hamilton, my co-host on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
He's a big birth week guy, I think.
Yeah. Also, birthdays from like 30 to 40 are relevant. 40 is important.
And yeah. 40.
Basically, you're going 10-year intervals after 30.
After the age of 25. I'm 25 right now. I don't think I get to really like care about birthdays. I shouldn't be caring about birthdays anymore.
Well, 30, 40, 50, 60.
Okay, except for the seminal ones every 5 to 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. It is funny as we see athletes. The teams will do like, hey, so-and-so's a year older. That's never a good thing. Like, why is it good? Every year, it's one more year closer to this guy being done.
You mean like when a team tweets out happy birthday?
Yeah, like, hey, Jordan Love, like next year, like Jordan Love would turn 27. You'd be like, dang, 27? He's got about 4 years in his prime?
Yeah, should be. But talking from Packers to Badgers, I mean, we can get into the Badgers and ages of players a little bit later on in today's show, as that is one of the central topics of the week. But
Yes.
I don't think it's wrong with wishing people a happy birthday.
Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I will wish Gabe a happy birthday. And it's not as funny. I literally downloaded the app, the Facebook one, like a day or two ago because I've missed too many birthdays. So I was like, all right, I'll go back and at least look on there. Because you open it up and be like, hey, someone's got a birthday today. And
as a producer, I'm upset I didn't put it on the show sheet. Honestly, I thought you would have known that, so I just assumed too much.
That's on me, though. I should know. Gabe's a friend, and I should know his birthday. But he doesn't know mine. I promise you.
First question you got to ask him.
We'll jump into that. So this is a Badger dedicated show. We have Kenny Guyton on the show next week, so that'll be exciting. Badgers quarterback coach, Badger basketball. As we turn the conversation to basketball, we'll get to Brett Bielema in a minute. But Badger basketball did what I thought they were going to do on Wednesday, which is lose to Maryland, and mainly because I think Maryland and Wisconsin are equal teams this year, equal programs this year. And the Badgers had to go to Maryland. If that game was at the Kohl Center, I would have flipped my expectations for it. So I think the Badgers right now are sitting where I think they belong in the conference as the fourth, fifth best team. I think right now they're fifth. I think they're a top five Big Ten team. That's what I view about this Badger team, which is exceeding expectations that I had for them. I honestly thought they'd be one of the worst Big Ten teams. So it is exciting to see them as a top five Big Ten team. And look, I will view this season as not a success unless they go to the Sweet 16. They've set this expectation, so you play like this for the regular season, go to Sweet 16, and we can pat you on the back.
Do you feel like that there is anything from last night's game specifically that makes you feel like they will make the Sweet 16 or won't at this point?
Klezmant would be the won't.
Klezmant?
Yes. 1 of 8. Blackwell had a bad game, but Klezmant, this isn't the first time he hasn't shown up. Like he's not ready for primetime.
Okay, yeah, I mean, he's played, I guess, one tournament game with the Badgers. I don't know if he was at Wofford before
I know,
then.
But in other big games, I'm just saying that, like, Went. I said this, I think, the last show. Kral and Klezmet, I think those are the two. I don't expect much out of them. Because I here's what I, and this is my reason for optimism. I think I'm missing a player in there. But my reason for optimism is Blackwell, and it is Tanjay, and is Winter. Those are three players who are getting more minutes. Tanjay, obviously, having not been on the team this year, or last year, more minutes, more opportunity to shine, which then tells me like maybe they can change the past history of Badger basketball. And so those are the players I'm focusing on of reason for optimism.
And Tanjay had that game you're talking about last night, too. He led the team with 23 points. He's averaging 24.7 over the last three games. He is getting, he's getting hot at the time. Well, I don't know, maybe a month too early, possibly. I mean, if he keeps this up, this is going to be incredible. But he was not shooting like this just last week.
Well, the difference is, I mean, you go back to the Johnny Davis team, and they had nice players. But, I mean, Chucky, there was just nobody on the team that could match what Johnny did as far as putting the ball on the floor. And
no.
And now you have two guys in Blackwell and Tanjay. And then Winter is a nice big man who I think is he's going to get better throughout his career. Like, I'm excited for his future, and I think he's a solid player this year. He's still a young player. But other than that, like, I don't – Kral, I mean, I know he's getting better defensively.
He had a solid night last night. He and Winter didn't do well at the rim. They missed 13 shots at the rim, actually. But defensively
– like, they missed a lot of uncontested shots.
That was the problem for them, yeah.
So, but again, Winter, I can look at it with an optimistic eye and say, he's a youngster. He'll figure it out either this year or next. Kral, like, we've had this story before. Like, we know what we get. We know what we're getting in Kral and Klezmet. What we can have reason for optimism for as far as getting more out of them than we've even seen so far would be Tanjay, Blackwell, and Winter.
Yeah. I don't know if
Kamari McGee, we know like Kamari McGee's a nice player.
He's a great six man.
And Carter Gilmore, we know what we're getting out of these guys.
Yeah, I guess it's just the problem is like the vets, the guys who have been around this program for the longest are the ones not producing. They're producing the least right now.
Wait, but we shouldn't be surprised on that.
No,
but
like, I mean,
this is who they've been, and it's fine. Again, the optimism is Blackwell, Tanjay, and Winter.
So, do you think this is like a year away, possibly, team?
I can't say that anymore because we just don't
portal.
Yeah, Tanjay's gone. Like
Tanjay graduates.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Blackwell, I'm sorry, you don't think someone's coming in with the $750 million for him?
I think at this point, for a guy like Blackwell, especially the years of eligibility left, it might be more than that.
Yeah. So I'm not saying the Badgers won't pay him or won't be able to, but I'm saying that like, if you're really good, you're either going pro or might get poached. And then a guy like Tanjay, like he's going to have a nice season here.
And then you don't forget about Freetag, who's also on the bench. Not really seeing a lot of minutes yet, but he's going to be a guy if, you know, if he doesn't feel like he's gotten enough opportunities.
Hopefully they've done a good job of making him feel as part of the team and wanted and important. So then he can be, along with Winter and a couple other guys, I guess Janicki, like a few other players for the future of the team.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice up-and-coming players who still aren't seeing a ton of minutes. Freetag's the one, though, you really feel confident about ceiling-wise. But yes. I feel like at least when it comes to Portal, NIL, those things, and I could be reading into this a lot, it feels like this young core feels like they're very attached. They feel very connected, and they feel like they have great relationships.
Absolutely.
Which is one thing that I know that's naive
to say. Wu-Tang Clan said it best. Cream. Cash rules everything around me.
Okay. Cash.
Dollar bills.
Fair. But I do think there's something to that, too. Guys want to, if it's like the decision between a little bit more money somewhere else, relationships where you are now could be a difference.
Absolutely. I mean, Chucky hung around probably longer than maybe he could have. He got paid the last time. He kind of said, you know what? I have an opportunity to get a real payday here.
Yeah. What he got with Louisville was a real payday.
And Store is a player for hire.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I'm not here for any Store slander. He was here. He played. He left. You're not making a tournament without him last year. So if you enjoyed making a tournament last year, then just be happy he was here the one year. And so Blackwell could leave. I would have no ill will against Blackwell if he leaves.
But then they can also bring in guys like Tanjay, too.
Absolutely. But that's why it gets back. You asked me, is this laying? I don't know. You can't lay the groundwork anymore.
True.
Basketball is worse than football because there's so many more players in football that losing, you could lose 15% of your roster and it might not really make a major difference.
True. Yeah, and it's probably easier to replenish nowadays, too, in football. I mean, yeah.
Badgers lost 2/5 of their team in Portal last year, right?
Feels like it.
Of their starters.
Certainly feels like it.
Yeah, Chucky in store.
Well, football-wise, they might be getting one of their players back. One of their aging veterans might be sticking around.
Oh, yeah, so you want me to transition here. So Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, and I've seen it in The Athletic and other places as well. ESPN has, and I got the alert on that. Wisconsin Badgers defensive back, Nizer Forqueen, who played 2 seasons at D2 Grand Valley State, wants to, he took the court, took the NCAA to court for enforcing eligibility rules. And basically, he's saying that because he was in D2, he didn't get a chance to participate in NIL, so that put him at a detriment, and so they should allow him some extra eligibility. And it's great for a guy like Forqueen, because I doubt he's going pro. Maybe he can get on a practice squad and work his way up, but him having the opportunity to stay in college, make a little bit of money, I hope they grant it to him. And did that work out for Tui Walker?
Yes, it did. He actually transferred to Cincinnati, of all places.
Okay, yeah. And so and I believe the Badgers brought this idea to Forqueen.
Yes.
And it's a good idea. It would be good for the Badgers so they can keep him.
Do you think that just shows to you how badly they need DBs to stay around? Because, like you said, Forqueen, there's obviously a pretty killer cap. That's why he wants to stay in college. But, I mean, he's a reliable veteran. But at the end of the day, like, they lost, what, 8 guys from
the
secondary?
Yeah, they lost a lot of bodies. But, like, Forqueen was a good player last year. He's just not a pro.
Yeah, he just feels very middle of the road, just average. Like, he's a solid body.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds disrespectful. But he transferred from D2.
With all due respect.
At the end of the day. But still, like, I don't know if, when it comes to, like, building the roster out again, though, we were just talking about basketball, trying to build that out. Like, when you have guys hanging around extra years of eligibility like this, like, I mean, he could be in college. If this passes with the NCAA case that he's pursuing, he could be in college till he's, like, 26, 27. I mean, and a ton of guys could be, too. I mean, shoot, they just brought in the D3 transfer, Matt Young, the safety from Bethel. I mean, his first 2 years, could he be at Wisconsin for 4 years now? I mean, and if so, like, is that better for the Badgers? Like, if they can just really, like, start to lean into, like, the farm system of lower levels of college?
Right, yes. You're talking two different things. This specific year with Forqueen, the Badgers would be benefited by having him come back. Because of the mass exodus. Long term, just like what they're bringing in Billy Edwards, but then bringing in a transfer portal quarterback behind him. Well, look, they tried this before with Braden Locke and Van Dyke and Mordecai. So you're hoping that Danny O'Neill or Carter Smith can step in. Long term, you got to get out of this business of one and dones or the vets hanging around. You need to develop the players. Because I would say more often than not, Wisconsin starts winning, the program can pay to keep their premier players around. And unlike basketball, they won't get poached regularly to bigger schools. Like, I'm pessimistic, and this is nothing against Greg Gard. It just goes to the money that goes to the Badger basketball program. I'm pessimistic that Blackwell will be around next year just because of the business. Nothing against Blackwell. Nothing. No insight. Nothing against Gard. It's just the way it goes. But I'm not the same of, like, if Darian Dupree has a huge season, I don't think he gets poached to Alabama or wherever.
I'm trying to think of players from this past year. I mean, Will Pauling could maybe fall into that category, but he kind of, you know, there's going to be some friction with him and Tretch. I guess I can't think of many examples of a football player so far under Luke Fickell who's been poached like that.
Yeah. I think if the Badgers wanted, I guess Xavier Lucas.
But Xavier Lucas would be the one, yeah, actually. But I'm trying to think of guys who were significant contributors.
Right, and like players who had been here for your few years. So, like, again, the Chuckies of the world.
Like, it would be like if Hunter Waller had left.
Yes. Yes, and now it'll be some of these other players. Again, if Darian Dupree has a great year and leaves, like, that would be concerning. That's a bigger issue for me than, like, Will Pauling going, because some of that was a numbers crunch.
Mm-hmm.
And if they really wanted him, they maybe have been able to figure out how to pay him.
Do you think that there's anything to the fact that this is the second one of the, or yeah, I guess second one of these headlines that a Badgers DB has been in over the last 2 weeks, and that it feels like the biggest stories around Badgers football right now are all about the transfer portal and NCAA eligibility and not anything football related?
This one's not bad, though. It's
not bad.
It's Forqueen.
But it's just,
it's a player that wants to stay, I mean.
That's good. I mean, I think that's a good thing. But just the brand reputation-wise, does it feel weird to just have the Badgers be at the center of this over and, like, multiple times in the span of such a short period?
I get what you're saying, but in this case, it honestly paints the Badgers. It's like counter PR. Like, they're saying, hey, we like you, you want to be here, we'll help see if we can help you fight this legal battle, and we'll bring this to your attention so maybe you can hang around for another year. Instead of Xavier Lucas, we're trying to hold you to a standard or a contract that will likely be pretty enforceable in February, depending on how things break out in the courts, is what I've read, that sometime next month there could be a little bit more clarity in the contracts and how these players are going to get paid, and the Badgers are kind of holding on for that. And we said it last show, the situation with Xavier Lucas, in my mind, is basically the Badgers are right, but they have to let him go at the same time.
I feel like I would just feel better as a fan, and this is probably very much, I'm very much being a dumb fan today, I'll be honest, but I want Wisconsin to not be involved in just headlines like this anymore.
That's fair. I read it, and I was like, oh no, and I was like, oh, he just wants to stay.
Yeah,
it's not
bad by any means. It's just at the end of the day, it's like, I'd rather like there be focused more about like what's going on with the roster. Like, obviously, Kenny Guyton becoming quarterback's coach, and we're going to have him on the show for next week. Like, stuff like that is exciting, but if it feels like that more often than not, we're talking about like off the field issues right now, or off the field topics for the Badgers at this point. And I know it's the off season, but still, I wish we were just getting excited about Darion Dupree, but I feel like it's hard to do that, at least for me. And I don't know if that has somewhat to do with what the team's been and the program's been over the past couple of years.
Yeah. And, well, I like where the pro, I get what you're saying. And again, we talked to Kenny Guyton already. We're going to play it next week. But I, after talking with him, a little tease for that, I'm excited about where this program is going. And speaking of, you know, he said in the interview, you got to know your past to know your future. The Badgers past with Brett Bielema. And I just think that he is so much bravado and so much chest thumping and puffing out your chest, and it's all because he's like, nobody's ever called Brett Bielema a tactician. Nobody's called him like the great defensive coordinator. He wasn't even a good defensive coordinator before Barry Alvarez gave him the job. Barry Alvarez said, I think you can lead a program. Barry Alvarez gave him the keys to the Badgers, but Barry Alvarez was very much involved for a lot of the time that Brett was here. And Brett had, when at his best, he had Paul Chryst as offensive coordinator. The team, I believe, can you help me on this? Because I have Brett Bielema's coaching record in front of me. I believe it was after the 2011 season that Paul Chryst went to Pittsburgh.
Yes, he left for Pittsburgh. I think so. That was the year before Brett Bielema.
Yes.
Left
so yes. So then Brett Bielema, that offense was not. That was horrible. There was a whole thing here, and this, I just want to get into what a phony and a fraud and what a hype man and a grifter Brett Bielema is.
And what was the most recent example of this too, by the way?
I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. So Brett Bielema in the news because he decided to pick a fight with Jim Harbaugh. And because Michigan's in the news again with the cheating scandal. And I think I've said this before, and I think we've asked Badger fans this before. You're taking the title. Like, you wish Brett cheated like that. I mean, stealing, like, you'd take the title. Nobody would take it away from you. Let's all be honest. If it came out and the Badgers had held just one Rose Bowl with Brett Bielema, one real bowl game with Brett Bielema, if he would have cheated, maybe he would have won more here. So Brett Bielema, and also let's not, and this is not specific to him, and I don't have any evidence, like let's not, all these coaches are not Pollyanna. These coaches are all not, you know, squeaky clean. So the idea of any college coach calling out another college coach for cheating is fascinating to me, just knowing the sport. But all that aside, because remember, and actually you have this, and this is what I thought of immediately, because I feel like with a lot of big, blustery people who say a lot of things and never take accountability and just throw crap against the wall and try to distract you with as many shiny objects as humanly possible to get you not to pay attention to what they're doing, a lot of times it's all projection. Like, they're all projecting what they want to be. And actually, Barry Alvarez talked about Brett when Brett was picking a fight and trying to be a bully and a tough guy in their bowl game.
And Brett pulled every trick in the book against him.
Yeah.
If he can do one thing against him, he goes nuts. I know how that works.
Coach, and he goes over the sideline.
He's on the sideline taunting.
walks across the field to his guy that's down on the field, and then he's over there talking.
He wasn't checking his guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't checking his guy. He was going to go over there and talk to the young coach.
That is the truth.
Yeah, and if that doesn't actually epitomize the classless nature of Brett Bielema, where he uses an injured player as a reason to go and talk trash to the coach, like, that's who Brett Bielema is. Like, that's what we should be focusing on. It's just who he is. And he was a guy at Wisconsin who, when I got here, so this is the Brett Bielema I know. They were 7-6, and that team was a disaster. That team was undisciplined. Players were getting in trouble. Players were not listening to him. That team was an abject nightmare. And my understanding is that there was, whether it was him or someone else, kind of gave him a get your crap together sort of talk, or you're going to be in trouble. Because he was 12-1 with all of Barry's players taking over for Barry Alvarez. Then he dropped to 9-4, lost the Outback Bowl. Then went 7-6 and lost the Champs Bowl. That team was on the edge. That 7-6 team was a nightmare. They were good kids, good players, but man, I remember Jay Valai being infuriated at the mentality of the team, that they were throwing a giant party. You know how close that team was to missing the bowl game? I think it was Cal State Fullerton, like blocking an extra point. And Jay Valai was absolutely disgusted that that's what had to happen to keep the Badgers bowl eligible that year. Like, there go by the grace of God, Brett Bielema in 2008 was incredibly close to possibly blowing the opportunity to go to bowl games. So, and that's the first time I covered that team. They put it back together. And let's be honest here. Scott Tolzien, who helped turn this program around, that was a happy accident. Brett Bielema, the great mind of a coach, brought in Allen Everidge from Kansas State, transfer QB. Disaster. Then you tried Dustin Shear. Kurt Phillips had some unfortunate injury problems. Could not get the quarterback position right. Did not even, like, Scott Tolzien was an afterthought. And then Scott Tolzien comes in and saves the program. Then they bring in Russell Wilson. And so, through all of that, through the heyday, it was Paul Chryst's offense. And I don't know what the divide was, but pretty reliable people told me that it was basically Paul Chryst ran the offense, don't come near my offense, don't come near my team. I will run the offense, you do the defense. You're the head coach, I got the offense, you don't need to be around. Like, not in a way of, like, you're not welcome, but do other stuff.
So it's basically Mike Ditka, Buddy Ryan.
No, it wasn't like to that level. Like, I don't want to misrepresent it. I'm just saying that Paul Chryst, it was basically, that's your room. And, okay. And Brett can go do the defense and coach the whole team.
Church and state.
Yeah, and it wasn't that Brett wasn't allowed in there. It was just Paul's going to run it. Paul ran that offense. He was the head coach of the offense. I think that's the way to describe it. Paul Chryst, head coach of the offense. Brett Bielema, head coach of the team. Paul Chryst, head coach of the offense. Those teams were great. Paul Chryst leaves. They go 8-5 with Bielema ball. Disaster. I mean, just a nightmare. They got to the Big Ten championship, but that was because two teams in Ohio State and in Penn State that were suspended. And so the Badgers got their third place they got there. And then they beat Nebraska. But what does that mean under Bo Pelini? Also, he was always an excuse maker. The year they had Russell Wilson, Devin Smith, a cornerback, got hurt, and I think one other player got hurt. So he spent the whole next year spinning and talking garbage and making stuff up about how they wouldn't have won a national championship if, oh, it wasn't for the injury. Like, no other team gets injured. Like, he's always been an excuse maker. Like, he preaches accountability, and this was the problem in 7-6 season. He would preach accountability and not be personally accountable. Like, he would say, be these things, and he wasn't those things. And maybe he's gotten better. But that's who Brett Bielema was, and I'm sure he's matured. But Brett Bielema at Wisconsin, to me, is second fiddle to Paul Chryst at Wisconsin. Paul Chryst saved Wisconsin football. Because Brett Bielema left, Gary Anderson kept it afloat. Because 8-5 was Brett Bielema's last year here. Gary Anderson kept it at that pace. Paul Chryst comes in and elevates it. He won a meaningful bowl game. Let's look at this again. Brett Bielema won the Capital One Bowl, then lost the Outback Bowl, the Champs Bowl, then won a Champs Bowl, and then never won a bowl game again at Wisconsin. Wow! That's what we're here for, right? Champs Bowls. Or just go to lose in the Rose Bowl.
He had an illustrious Arkansas career.
Yeah, Arkansas is who he is at 29-34. Then he basically has run out of college football. Gets a nice job, probably knowing someone with New England. And then goes to Illinois. My understanding is he was begging for any college job. And remember, Illinois couldn't hire anyone after Tim Beck, Beckman. Like, that whole disaster. So they signed a name, a Hail Mary. And Brett Bielema showed up. And he's 28 and 22. He was 5-7 last year. This guy talks like he was 5-7, 8-5, 5-7, 10-3. So that means he's going to be what, 5-7 again?
I mean, very well could be.
Yeah, probably. If I'm betting on it.
Hey, I mean, where Wisconsin's at right now, I would take.
I don't care about Wisconsin. I just want to call out Brett Bielema. You need to keep Jim Harbaugh's name out of your mouth because Jim Harbaugh's been in the NFL twice. Jim Harbaugh is 10 times the player you were and 10 times the coach you were. Forget the cheating part of it. Jim Harbaugh, without the cheating scandal, has done more in college football at Stanford than Brett Bielema has done in college football. And now he's in the NFL. Nobody's calling for Brett. He like made up one rumor one time that Miami wanted him. No NFL team's calling for Brett Bielema. The NFL is, and the idea that Jim Harbaugh ran to Los Angeles, the NFL has beaten down his door for at least 3 years. Again, nobody's beaten down Brett Bielema's door except for Uber Eats.
Great plug.
Yes.
To be a new sponsor.
All right. Gabe's ready?
That he
is. The birthday boy. All right. So before we get to Gabe, I want to tell everyone to test rest a Beautyrest black mattress at Steinhoffels for your chance to win a dream vacation to Hawaii. Queen Beautyrest mattress start at just $399. Add an adjustable base and save up to $900. Queen Beautyrest black mattress start at just $38 per month when you use Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. Plus, get up to $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. Don't overpay for a good night's sleep. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. I might be going there this weekend. All right, let's get the game.
George! Honestly, Abe, it's 4:30 in the morning.
But it's Steinhoffel's President's Day sale starts today. Come on, man.
It's Steinhoffel's President's Day sale. Get up to a $300 airline gift card, plus our special 18-month financing.
By presidential proclamation, today shall be the best day ever.
And now we are joined by Gabe Neitzel, my first ever co-host with Good Karma Brands. Gabe, you and I started Madison Sports Radio with Madison's Baseball Tonight. So happy to have you on.
Oh, happy to be here, man. Like, so what, we're looking at, that was 2007?
Yeah, right in
that
range.
We're getting close to that 20-year mark.
Right? Yeah, we really are. And I'm still talking about Brett Bielema. So
Somehow it always comes back to Brett.
I'll remember when I got here, I had to be corrected because I think I was editing sound and I spelled his name the normal way because I just hadn't looked with two T's. And Lance Davis, our teammate's like, hey, just FYI, it's one T for Brett Bielema. So I never forgot that going forward. And Gabe, you got this look with the long hair and the beard, but I did see ESPN Radio was, I don't know where they pulled that photo from, but the Gabe Neitzel that I worked with when this all started. Man. How old was that photo? Because I got some old ones of you and I with like Ron Dane, but you have definitely gone through your lumberjack phase now.
Yeah, I don't know where they started pulling these pictures from, man. Like, it's, I think he just, Cam Pratt, who is doing the show I was doing Greeny on Tuesday, he said I asked him where he got it. He said he Googled my name, and that's what popped up. So, you know, I guess then people started sharing old photos of me. It just really spiraled out of control on Tuesday. I don't know what happened.
Do you remember that photo being taken? Because you're wearing a WISN TV shirt in that. That's at the ESPN Milwaukee studios.
So, yeah, so I had the WISN shirt on because we did at the time with Channel 12 here as part of our high school coverage. Like, I would do play-by-play for a Friday night game, and then I would go interview the winning coach that would be a part of, like, their coverage because we had partnered together for the high school coverage. So that picture is actually, like, a still frame from a video that, like, an intern did where the intern, like, came in. So that's and was like asking me a question before we were doing the show or something. And so that's what that was from. It was from a still frame of a video that an intern had taken back in like 2014.
So that's a good memory there. Cause I was like, I don't remember working with you when you were doing that in Milwaukee, but maybe I couldn't place the era of it when I saw the photo. So I needed you to give me the context for it. Gabe, since we have you on and we're talking, well, we talked to Kenny Guyton today. We're going to play the interview tomorrow, the new Badgers quarterback coach.
Had to bring it back, guys. Sorry.
It's good.
Yeah, no, hey, that's just good producing. Wooly, like, I wish I could be mad at Wooly because he pulled that picture back up, but, like, that's just good producing. Like, I can't be mad for good producing.
No.
Game recognizes game.
Yes, absolutely. but Badger football, And we just talked about Bielema. But in general, Badger football, we talked to the quarterback coach. I'm a little bit excited. They feel like they're basically, they've described that they're going to hold the weight and a chip on their shoulder and understand that, like, hey, we've underperformed the last 2 years, and we're not just going to put that in the rearview mirror and move forward. We're gonna own that and say, we have to remember getting better. So with that and the recruiting and Jeff Grimes coming in and maybe some new players at quarterback, what are your expectations? Forget even wins and losses. Just what are you looking for this year to feel better about Badger football?
I mean, they, at minimum, they have to get back to a bowl game. And like when yes. their schedule came out like a month ago or whatever it was, like looking, knowing that they weren't going to a bowl and then looking at the schedule for 2025 was brutal. Like, holy yes. bleep, look at this schedule. This is incredibly tough. Like, if this was one of those Badger teams that you were feeling good about, that was, oh man, they were so close last year, but they can make a run and they're going to have an opportunity to prove it once again, like, that would be different. Like, okay, these are going to be really good tests. Based on what they've done the last couple of seasons and underperforming, I'm looking at that going, man, why couldn't they have Indiana's schedule from last year? Like, why right? couldn't they get that easy schedule to kind of like ease their way back into potentially being like a top 25 team? Because, I remember when people were really upset when I was working in Madison Gym in yeah. the Bielema era. What was it? Was it Cal Poly? Who was it that came in?
That's what I was talking about. Yes.
Yeah, like – they were 7-6 that year. And I swear, I can't remember the specific year, but go back and look at that roster. It is stacked. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember a couple years later looking at that team going, how did they go 7-6? They've got like 7, 8, 9 guys that are in the NFL now. And I remember how upset people were that year when they made a bowl game and barely beat Cal Poly at home. Like, this is the most upset I can recall a Badger fan base ever being. And I feel pretty removed from it being in Milwaukee. Like, being in Madison, I can only imagine what the ire is like and what the frustration is like by not making a bowl game. To hear Barry Alvarez on our air saying, yeah, that's disappointing to me. Like, that's something I started. Like, that was a tradition that I started. That was something that was, you know, hey, here's the baseline expectation. Even in the Gary Anderson years, they were good enough to make a bowl. And to not – and to fall short of that goal and that expectation, like, fans should be rightfully upset and rightfully frustrated. And I hope for their sake, because I loved the Fickell hire. I thought it was the gutsy hire, even though it was like the easy hire, because this guy's played in a college football playoff. That's what you want to go. This guy should have the roadmap of how to get there. He did it at Cincinnati. Why can't he do it at Wisconsin?
Yep.
But they have to, at the bare minimum, make a bowl game this year and play more games like they did against Oregon, where, yeah, you're going to be going up against some juggernauts this year, but you have to show that competitive fight and that, like, that pluckiness of, hey, yeah, maybe they didn't win that game, but you can see what the future lies for this football program. And that's the problem. Right now, the program seems directionless.
And going back to that year, that was my first year here. It was 2008, you referenced it. Gabe, they were a stop two-point conversion from missing, breaking their bowl game thing. Because that
it wasn't that. It was because there was, like, also a missed field goal.
Yeah, they won.
There was, like,
yeah.
a missed extra point.
They
there
won
were, like,
30,
a bunch of missed yeah. short kicks.
36-35 is how they won that game to get their seventh win. They beat Minnesota 35-32 to get their sixth win, the second to last game mm-hmm. of the year. That team was dangerously close, and that team was loaded, but it was Allen Everidge, Dustin Shear with a little Scott Tolzien mixed in at quarterback. That was the death knell for the team. Defensively, that team was loaded. Javy McFadden, DeAndre Levy, mm-hmm. NFL player. Jonathan Casillas, yep. NFL player. Jay Valai, NFL player. Then you had Chris Maragos in the NFL, Matt Shaughnessy in the NFL, O'Brien Schofield in the NFL. Shane Carter, I believe he got kicked
How
off the team.
How are you giving up 30-plus points to Cal Poly
when you're
you
a defensive
have those
coach.
Defenders?
Yes, yes.
How does that happen? Yeah, yeah. And Tolzien obviously wasn't Tolzien yet.
Yeah, and there was other good college players in like Niles Brinkley and Mike Newkirk. And there was like good college dudes in there too. Blake Sorensen, mm-hmm. I believe he might have got Antonio Fanellis. Like, those are younger players. Like, that team was loaded defensively. It was the
yeah,
offense was a problem, but yes.
giving up 30 points to Cal Poly.
And then 32 to Minnesota the week before. So, yes, I don't know what Minnesota was at that point. But yeah, it wasn't great. Ryan, did you find another photo here? This is true Gabe Neitzel.
Oh, this one just
Madison
popped up.
Era.
Oh
yes.
yeah, this That's, is the one, yeah. man. Look at, first of all, like, not only how young you and I look in this picture, but how young Ron Dayne looks in
yes.
this picture.
Yeah,
like, it looks like Ron Dayne just finished playing at Wisconsin in that picture somehow, even though it was taken in 2007.
Yeah, Wohler, Wohlersheim, how old were you in this? Like, when this is. Were you born?
Was this the fall?
2007 window.
2007. I would have been about 8 years old.
All right, there you go. So look how young you would have been in that one. So.
Oh man, I would have. I might have actually been walking down Breeze Terrace that day, watching a bunch of kids do like beer bongs off the frat houses there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then I think that was the first day I decided I want to go to Wisconsin. Yeah.
And Gabe, that does remind me. I'd be remiss not to wish you happy birthday. So.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, of course. And we're thrilled to have you on. And you and I used to go back and forth on Badger basketball and Marquette basketball. And I think I realized I just didn't like Buzz Williams and Woj because I liked Marquette when Tom Crean was there. And I love Shaka Smart. I wish he was at Wisconsin. I got to do a Coaches vs. Cancer event with him, and he's a great dude, and he's got great shoes as well. And obviously, he's from where I live now in Oregon, Wisconsin. And I love the way Marquette plays. So now, like, I have no ill will against Marquette. They're really fun to watch play basketball, and they're dominating right now. And I wanted to bring you on just to give us the insight here. I mean, they're 9-1, 18-3 overall. Obviously, St. John's is right there with them. But they are arguably one of the – obviously, ninth-best team in the country, one of the best teams in the country. I think that Elite Eight Final Four expectation isn't insane for this team based off what they're doing right now. And I think the Badgers are more of like a Sweet 16 ceiling. But tell us – give us a little more insight into Marquette. We saw them play early in this year. And so I guess how have they improved since the last time we've seen them play?
Yeah, it's crazy because I thought that this would be a team that certainly could be a top 25 team. But when you are a team that doesn't really use the transfer portal the way that Shaka hasn't in the last handful of years, certainly did right away when he got here because Tyler Kolek was a transfer guy that yep. he brought in, who then finished his career here. But when you lose Kolek, you lose Osa Iguodaro to the NBA, and there aren't real clear replacements behind them, you're thinking, okay, they'll probably take a little bit of a step back. They're still going to be competitive because they're Shaka, and there's still a lot of really good returning players. But it almost feels like for this year's team, Tyler Kolek getting injured at the end of last year was really good for Cam Jones because it inserted him into that point guard role, and he's been a really good distributor this year. He went through a little bit of a cold streak that I'm hoping he's passed now because he shot it pretty well this past Tuesday in their win over Butler. But Cam Jones' growth has been a huge reason why they are successful this year. But I think one of the biggest reasons is Stevie Mitchell, who's been a great defender the entire time he's been at Marquette, but he has expanded his offensive game. And all of these guys to a man, because they didn't, not only did they, you know, not bring anybody in, they didn't lose anybody going out, which is the craziest part, yeah. right? Like, how do you not lose anybody going out in 2025 in the NIL era? Because they all buy in to Shaka when he talks about relationships, growth, and victory. And look, at some point, Marquette's going to use the transfer portal. At some point, somebody's going to leave. But with this group that they have this year, it just shows that how, you know, staying together as a college basketball team and growing together and playing can lead to a lot of success. I don't want to say they're ultimately going to have the success that your alma mater, that FAU, had a couple yeah. of years ago, yeah. but it's kind of like that because all those guys had played together
yep.
and they had, and that's why they made that run, because they were in every essence of the word, they were a team. And I think that's what Marquette is. Like, Cam Jones is one of the best players in the country, certainly. Stevie Mitchell is one of the best defenders in the country. But everybody else kind of steps up at different points, whether it's David Joplin scoring 30 points or you see Royce Parham come off the bench and he can chip in. Like, they are all bought into the message that Shaka is giving and delivering, and that's why this is a top 10 team in the country.
So, and you mentioned FAU. Dusty May's now at Michigan. But the team came back for another year, and they were not obviously a big portal one. And FAU, they came back. They didn't have the same success. Dusty May left, and I don't know if there was a single player left off of that team.
Yeah.
They had eligibility left. They didn't all go to Michigan, but they all dispersed. And Shaka Smart, obviously Marquette is a much higher job than FAU, but Shaka Smart could, if he continues to win, if a true blue blood, and Marquette's close to that, but like they could come calling. What's your sense on him? He's a Wisconsin guy. I love what he's doing at Marquette. I hope he stays. It seems like he's very happy there, but there are probably a few schools out there that it's always going to be hard to say no to. You think about in football, like a Notre Dame or others, basketball. I don't know if it's Kentucky or UCLA, what they are anymore, but there probably are still schools that are always going to at least garner like, what's the offer from any coach? So how sturdy do you feel Shaka is at Marquette? And obviously this is a good question because he's crushing it, and that's why other teams are going to look at him.
I feel like he's pretty sturdy. And look, I think that's a fair question to ask. I don't know if other Marquette people would take offense at it that, oh, hey, they're trying to hire away. You know, the Madison guy's trying to hire away.
No,
but again, when you think about
Madison.
Tom Crean.
Yeah.
But Tom Crean left for Indiana, right? Yep. Like Buzz, even though all the success that he was having, ultimately decided he went to Virginia Tech first, and now he's at Texas A&M. I always got to remember Buzz's, you know. So like, it is possible, right? But I feel that Shaka may have learned that this is a really good fit for him. And I think he learned that while he was in Texas. Like, yeah, Texas has all the money in the world down there, right? But you got to take some orders from some of the boosters because they're giving a lot of money to the athletic program. And they made the tournament, but they never won a tournament game. Like, they weren't as successful as he was at VCU, weren't as successful as he is right now in Marquette. So I think he realizes that being a place like this is a perfect fit for him. So I don't know if that means he would leave for another place that he feels could be a fit like this. But with the resources that Marquette gives him, with the freedom that he has here, I would be really shocked if he left. Again, not to say that it can't happen, but I would be incredibly surprised if he left, just because it seems like it's a perfect fit of what he wants to build and the freedom that he's given in order to build it.
And I agree with you. Again, I could only think, and I don't even have the names. There's probably like three or four jobs that would just any coach, if you coach college basketball, you'd be like, well, maybe I at least got to see what they have to offer. But Cam Jones, and Marquette's got a great, obviously, roster of all-time great players. Where does Cam fit into that? Maybe it's even over the last 10 years, because, I mean, at some point, Dwayne Wade and some of the others, it gets a little unfair. But where does Cam Jones kind of fit into that as a college basketball player for Marquette? Because he's had a nice career so far, and he's still writing a story.
Yeah, he's still writing that story. He's still climbing his way up in terms of, you know, scoring at Marquette. I think that he is, in terms of the last 10 years, he might be the third best. And, oh, because you have Marcus Howard in there. You have the Housers in there. But they never had the success. I mean, especially, I guess, where he ends up is all going to depend upon what they do in the tournament, right? Like, if they go and they win another Big East tournament, or they win the Big East regular season, those are all going to be feathers in his cap. But if he can do something like get to an Elite Eight, which is something that, as good as Tyler Kolek was, being Big East Player of the Year, didn't do, right? They made it to the Sweet 16 last year. I think that gives him an opportunity to continue to move up. Like, I mean, Marcus, what he did here was outrageous. Like, I still can't believe he scored 40 points in a half. That's outrageous. Like, he scored 40 points in a freaking half of basketball. So he's going to be number one on that list for like the last 10 years. Kolek is probably number two right behind him because he's a Big East Player of the Year. They had a lot of the team success. Oso was such a talented passer and just a gifted big man. Like, he could slot into that, to me, be that number four spot. And if they make some sort of deep sustained run and he's the engine behind it, he can climb up to even higher, because as sad as it is to me, as someone who enjoys the runs and the rhythm of a regular season, whether it's the NBA or college basketball, like, ultimately what you're judged on in college hoops is, okay, what kind of run did you make? What kind of deep run are you making in the NCAA tournament? Like, is Frank Kaminsky the legend that he is if Wisconsin doesn't go to back-to-back Final Fours?
No.
Like, if they lose one of those tight games in the Elite Eight to Arizona, like, he's probably not looked at the same. But those Final Fours and that national championship game appearance ultimately are what define Frank and Sam and obviously our own guy, Benny Brust, and anybody else who was on those national championship caliber teams.
Well, and bringing it to, you had time here in Madison, and you and I did a lot of shows really riding and dying with Bo Ryan, saying like this unfair narrative, like he wasn't a good coach because he never got to a Final Four. And obviously he put that to bed. He's probably not in the Hall of, I would say he's not in the Hall of Fame if it wasn't for those two runs. And I mean, he should have been regardless, but I feel like that helped put him and raise his legacy. And right now, Badger basketball, I think we're all, and this is just how fans are in general with college basketball, but Greg Gard's lack of success in Sweet 16 appearances. I think at this point, Badger fans will throw a parade if they get to the Sweet 16, because you had Johnny Davis fell short. You had AJ Story, you fell short. This year's team, Tanjay, I don't think it's the level of those players, but they have some nice players around them in Blackwell and Winter and then Vets and Klesmit and Kroll. I don't know what the team's going to be, but it's always going to be the unfair mark against Bo Ryan about lack of postseason success is actually a true knock on Greg Gard, because Bo would be like, all right, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, like he was always at least getting there. And it's like, well, he's just not getting to the Final Four. Gard's not getting to the second weekend. And at some point, fans are going to get really restless. What do you see in this team that makes you feel like any different about it when you see Badger basketball? I know you might probably don't watch them as much as Marquette, but outside of some different players, they play a little faster, but otherwise it still feels a lot like Badger basketball.
Yeah, it's still Badger basketball because that's why Bo wanted guard in those situations, right? Like, and they'll certainly show. Like, when we talk about those Final Four teams from 14 and 15, like it was Badger basketball, but because they had the talent they had, like Bo had different rules for them, right?
Yes.
Versus the Jordan Taylor era Badgers, they didn't have the same level of talent, so you gotta stick by some of the principles a little bit more strictly. And that obviously worked for Bo, and Greg Gard's a Bo Ryan guy, so they're going to do a lot of the same things. There's a reason why Bo wanted Greg to be his successor. Look, this team, I think they can score, but they just kind of get hot and cold at times.
Yep.
And that's dangerous when you hit tournament time, right? Like, if they're feeling it and they're feeling good coming out of the Big Ten tournament, you get to the tournament and they roll offensively. Like, yeah, I think they could go to a Sweet 16. They could give somebody a trouble in that, that Thursday or Friday of the second weekend. But if they're cold, kind of like they were in the second half against Marquette, like, that's one and done, man. Like, that you ain't winning a first-round game if you play like that. So the Badgers have run – pretty hot and cold for me. But again, like they still feel like, as you mentioned, they don't have that like top end guy like they had AJ Storr a year ago or Johnny Davis from a few years ago. And because you don't have that top end guy, that's, again, I go back to those, like, again, when I was in Madison, those Jordan Taylor type.
John Luehr, Keaton Yankerville,
they had some good guys and they had some players and they played well together and they were able to make some runs. But going into the tournament, he was like, sure. If they make it to the Sweet 16, fine.
Matchups. I think that was our key word back then. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the same thing for Wisconsin this year is who are they going to be matching up against, and are they going to be able to match them up against them defensively?
Yeah, I kind of agree with everything you're saying there. I do. One thing that came in, Ryan, you can chime in on this, but when Gabe talked about Marquette keeping players and then not adding in the portal, Wisconsin is in this weird spot that, Chucky left, Storr left, so... But, I mean, Chucky was a homegrown guy. I said that Blackwell's a guy that I feel like someone might come and poach, and that's no knock against him. So Wisconsin has to figure out a way, same thing in football, to have these homegrown talents hang around for a while, to find their Cam Jones and not have that player poached. And it's easier said than done, but I feel like that's the secret to the sauce of a little bit what Marquette's doing is there's a culture built there of we are Marquette and we are all staying.
As a Wisconsin fan, that's what I'm hoping for. We were talking about it before Gabe came on, exactly, is that we can all stay together, this young core, 2 to 3 years. Like you said, Gabe, the young core for Marquette. Like, you don't get that in college basketball anymore. Outside of, like, feels like UConn, and I don't know, maybe, I can't even think of another program.
Yeah, because, it's not just Cam. I mentioned Stevie, David Joplin. Like, they've all been playing together forever at this point. You drop in Ben Gold, who's been starting, this year for them at center, and he's, he hasn't gone anywhere, so they know each other. They know each other's tendencies. And this is where, for a place like Marquette, it's probably easier because they don't have a football program, right? I don't know the inner workings of whatever Marquette's NIL deal is, and I know they give opportunities to their students. But when your biggest sport is men's basketball and you have 12 to 15 guys on the roster, it's easier to make them happy with whatever NIL deals you can put together for basketball. We're over at Wisconsin. Like, you're trying, okay, how much money are we putting towards football? How much are we putting towards basketball? How much are we putting towards our hockey programs and all these other things?
Volleyball.
And Marquette's had some success. Wisconsin, certainly with women's volleyball.
Yep.
And Marquette's had some success. I know their women's volleyball team went to the Sweet 16 this year. Yep. They've had some success. I think this year the women's basketball team taking a step back because they had so many people transfer out after their coach left. So there are other successes that they have. But, when you have football and that kind of controls everything, trying to, how much money do we put here? How much money do we put here? That kind of becomes a difficult thing for Marquette. Okay, we've got 12 to 15 dudes we got to make happy. And I think they've found a way to do that with their NIL.
Gabe, awesome stuff. Really appreciate it. Happy birthday. Great seeing you.
Yeah, good to see you too, bud. Have a good rest of your show.
All right, thank you. That was Gabe Neitzel, and we are going to – there he is. Gabe Neitzel through the – we basically went through the Gabe Neitzel eras, a little eras tour with Gabe as we wrap up the show here. Thanks, Gabe. Thanks, Prime. This has been the Jump Around 3.0.